You're listening to World Class from the Freeman Spogli Institute for International Studies at Stanford University. We bring expertise on international affairs from Stanford's campus straight to you. I'm Michael McFaul, host of World Class and director of the Freeman Spogli Institute. My guest today is Sasha Ustinova. She was recently elected to the Ukrainian Parliament this past July for the first time ever. Congratulations, Sasha, by the way.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. We are especially proud of her because she's an alumna of the Ukrainian Emerging Leaders Program at the Center for Democracy, Development, and Rule of Law here at Stanford. Before her time at Stanford last year, Sasha was a board member of the Anti-Corruption Action Center, an anti-corruption watchdog in Ukraine. Sasha, can I call you still Sasha? Don't I need to call you Member of Parliament Ustinova? What's proper address? But welcome to the podcast.
Of course, no. Thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me. It's a great pleasure and honor for me to be here.
We're thrilled that you're here at Stanford and participating in our event today on Ukraine. Coincidentally, you happen to be here at a time when we've had probably more interest and attention and maybe misinformation about Ukraine in the United States media in the last couple of weeks. So let's talk about the word corruption and some of these people. You've been fighting corruption in Ukraine for a long, long time. Tell us your understanding of this story. I'll tell it the way President Trump tells the story, Mr. Giuliani, and then you give us the facts. So the way they tell the story is that President Trump asked his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, to interact with Ukraine, specifically with Mr. Lutsenko, the former prosecutor general, to try to uncover the corruption that Hunter Biden, the vice president Biden's son, was participating in Ukraine. What are the real facts? To the best of your knowledge, so.
Well, you know, I've been an anti-corruption activist for the last 5 years before going to Stanford and joining the parliament. And for me,
we chose you because you're one of the leading activists fighting corruption in Ukraine, just for the record.
Thank you so much. And for me, reading the words the President of the United States was saying about our former general prosecutors, Lutsenko and Shokin, hurt me to the bottom of my heart. Because I totally understand he was probably whether misinterpreted or somebody gave the wrong information to him.
Right.
And because let's talk honestly about our former prosecutors, Shokin and Lutsenko.
And Shokin first and then Lutsenko.
Yes,
so our listeners understand.
I'll just go a little bit briefly in details for our listeners to understand.
Don't be brief.
So in 2014, the revolution of dignity happened in Ukraine, and our former president Yanukovych escaped. So did the majority of the government, his very close associates. One of them was Mr. Mykola Zlochevsky, who was before that in the National Security and Defense Council, and before that he was the Minister of Ecology and Natural Resources. His company called Burisma is one of the biggest companies in Ukraine extracting gas and oil. And the majority of the permits or licenses for that he received while being in the positions where he could influence that his company was the one who actually did get these permits.
During the Yanukovych.
It was during the Yanukovych government before 2014. So the majority of his permits he received at the beginning of the 2000 when Yanukovych was the prime minister, and later when Yanukovych became the president and he became the minister, he actually got more licenses. So
but
what
just
happened?
So I understand he was in the government at the same time that he had this company, Burisma?
Of course. So he controlled the company, Burisma. He was in the government, and his company received license. Before that, he was the head of the committee who was actually providing licensing when Yanukovych, I think it was 2001 and 2003, when Yanukovych was the prime minister, he was the head of the committee who was providing these licenses as well, and that's when his company started getting it. So when he and Yanukovych escaped in 2014, there were 5 criminal investigations that were started against Burisma.
It was five different criminal investigations.
There were different ones on money laundering, on illicit enrichment, and others. And that was exactly the time in 2014 was when Hunter Biden, and actually nobody mentions it, but it was also the former president of Poland, Kwasniewski, who joined the international board.
Mr. Kwasniewski,
who joined the international board of Burisma Holding, the company whose owner was Zlochevsky, who had been under sanctions and escaped from Ukraine.
So why do you think they joined right at that time?
So basically what Burisma was trying to do is to get international people on board to wash off the reputation.
I see.
And they were inviting very famous people or people with the names, let's be honest, because Hunter Biden was invited because of his dad, who back then was the vice president of the United States. And Kwasniewski is a very well-known and respected person in Ukraine because Poland is a neighboring country to Ukraine and we are very close.
And he played a big role in the Orange Revolution, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
trying to negotiate a peace agreement or something, right?
Yes, and I mean, there is a very deep respect for him. Okay. And that's why Burisma basically try to get these people on board and pay them pretty high salaries. As long as I know, what the media is saying was around $50,000 per month just to use their names to be on board. All of this was done just to keep the reputation and try to wash it off. Okay. And this was parallel to the time when all these five criminal investigations were going on. What we see in 2014, a general prosecutor named Mr. Shokin was appointed. He was a very close person to the former president Poroshenko. He was supposed to investigate all these former Yanukovych state officials.
Okay. So just to help our listeners follow, because it's complicated, Poroshenko was elected after the revolution.
Yes, I'm so sorry to say.
And then Mr. Shokin was appointed by him.
Yeah, so in 2014, after Yanukovych escaped, Mr. Poroshenko was elected as a president of Ukraine.
Right.
And he could appoint his own general prosecutor.
Right.
So Mr. Shokin became the person who was appointed. What happened is, unfortunately, instead of investigating the cases like Zlochevsky or any others, Shokin and his team were trying to take an advantage of it. So I can give you one example on why Shokin is not a good prosecutor who was fired because he was investigating Zlochevsky and Burisma. When Zlochevsky escaped in 2014, the UK government started an investigation and actually froze $23 million on his accounts in UK.
That were in the UK?
They were in the UK.
So that's pretty extreme. They were doing something aggressive.
So UK was trying to help Ukraine as much as they could, and that's why they froze the accounts of Mr. Zlochevsky, who is the owner of Burisma, where Hunter Biden was in the international board.
Right.
What happened was, when Shokin was a general prosecutor, he helped Zlochevsky to unfroze this money.
I see. The exact opposite of fighting corruption.
Exactly. And that's why when I hear right now that Shokin was a good guy who was fired because he was investigating Zlochevsky, no. He was the prosecutor who was helping Zlochevsky to escape sanctions and to actually unfreeze his $23 million that were frozen by the UK government.
Right.
So what happened is...
Are you working at this time for ANTAC? Let me just make sure. The Anti-Corruption Action Center?
Yes, I was
working... So you guys are monitoring these kinds of things, right?
We were monitoring that, and we actually were one of a few NGOs who were filing the information to the General Prosecutor's Office, and one of the investigations was started because we sent an appeal to the General Prosecutor's Office to open an investigation.
Okay.
So that's why we know a lot of the details, that because we were the one who
That was your work, right?
Yes. So what happened is, Mr. Zlochevsky lawyers sent a request to the General Prosecutor's Office asking if there was a criminal investigation in Ukraine against Zlochevsky. What the General Prosecutor's Office did, and that was a trick that they played, is they sent this case for 2 days to the National Police. So officially, they didn't hold this case for 2 days. And they send back a paper to the lawyers of Mr. Zlochevsky saying, no, we don't have an open criminal investigation. There is no criminal investigation done by the General Prosecutor's Office against Zlochevsky. Later, this paper was used in court in London by lawyers of Mr. Zlochevsky to unblock all of his accounts. Because they provided a paper signed by the general,
saying
that there is no criminal investigation against Zlochevsky in Ukraine. So it was used to unblock and unfreeze all the money. Of course, 2 days later...
So it was more, just to interrupt, I'm sorry, it's so complicated, but you know everything. No, it's great. So it wasn't just that he wasn't investigating Burisma, it was that he was actively helping them to be exonerated in courts in London.
It was exactly what was happening. So Shokin, instead of investigating, he was helping Zlochevsky unblock his accounts, unfreeze his $23 million that was frozen by the UK government. And they played a trick using the legislative holes, loops, I would say, to help the Zlochevsky lawyers do that.
Got it.
It was even worse because the UK government got really mad because they had to pay a fine to Mr. Zlochevsky for freezing his accounts.
Seriously?
Yes.
What an irony.
They had to pay a fine for Mr. Zlochevsky because the general prosecutor Shokin helped him unfreeze the accounts just using the loops in the Ukrainian legislation.
And to remind our listeners, Mr. Zlochevsky is the head of Burisma. the company of which Hunter Biden is a board member of at this time.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So that was what's happened with the first general prosecutor,
right,
who was claimed to be an honest guy who was fired because he was trying to investigate corruption of Mr. Biden's son.
Right.
He was not trying to investigate corruption. He was trying to help the former corrupt state official escape any kind of the criminal prosecution.
Right. And just to remind our listeners, at the time, it wasn't just the vice president and the Obama administration putting pressure on Shokin. It was NGO activists like yourself, right? I saw some of the photos where there were demonstrations against him.
I was actually one of the few people who organized all these demonstrations and street events in front of the general prosecution office, because everybody was so sick of Shokin and so disappointed of him not investigating, but actually helping the former Yanukovych officials get back into the country escape the prosecution, that people literally started going out on the streets
to protest
against Shokin and to protest and make Poroshenko fire him.
Right. It wasn't just this one case. He wasn't investigating anybody, right? There were lots of cases you were concerned
with. So the key issues that were brought up back then was not investigating cases on people being killed at Maidan.
Right.
So none of the police officers who were shooting down people, and just to remind our listeners, we had more than 100 people shot down downtown Kyiv.
Right.
And none of them ended
not
up in prison.
Not a single person was prosecuted, right?
Exactly. And the second thing was not investigating former Yanukovych state officials who were under sanctions in EU and UK, as I was saying, for example. But our prosecution general did not do anything to investigate them in Ukraine. And we realized if they don't start doing anything, it will end up that the sanctions would be lost.
Right.
And that is what's happening right now.
Right.
Let's talk about the second general prosecutor who came after
Shokin. So Shokin was eventually fired, right?
So
the parliament,
Shokin was
the Rada removed him formally, right?
Shokin was eventually fired because of the strong pressure inside the country from NGOs, from the civil society. We had even lawyers coming up on the streets with us, the lawyers of the Heavenly Hundred, those people who were killed, of their families, who would go out with us on the streets saying it's not okay to have a general prosecutor, all that. So he was eventually fired, and we had a new general prosecutor, Mr. Lutz, who is a very, very close person to our former president Poroshenko, who became the general prosecutor.
Okay, tell us about him.
So Mr. Lutsenko is not a good guy as well. I'm so sorry to say it, but you know, when I became a parliamentarian in the law enforcement committee right now, and I remember a month ago, I was sitting right next to Mr. Lutsenko at the committee, and we were discussing his resignation. Just for you to understand, none of the committee members even wanted to listen to him. He brought a lot of the, like, brought a huge presentation and said he wanted to say on how much was done. The only thing that he heard back is like, we know what you had done. You had done nothing, and we don't want to listen to this.
I see.
So they didn't even give him a word, and he had to leave. That was very embarrassing because he was trying to say that he has been doing a lot, but unfortunately, that was the person who actually did shut down the case on Zlochevsky and Burisma. Because remember, I was telling you there were 5 criminal investigations that were started against Zlochevsky. It ended up with 1 investigation on tax evasion.
Okay.
And basically, it ended up that Zlochevsky paid a fine of $4 million for not paying enough taxes, and all the rest of the cases were shut down.
I see.
And they were shut down exactly by Mr. Lutsenko because he was the general prosecutor back then. That's why it is very disappointing and unfair for me to hear and read that Mr. Shokin and Mr. Lutsenko, 2 former general prosecutors, are the good guys who were actually trying to investigate Burisma and Zlochevsky, and that's why they actually had to resign.
Right.
This is exactly the opposite. This is the 2 general prosecutors who were helping Mr. Zlochevsky escape from the prosecution.
Right.
And paying $4 million fine is nothing to the person. I just gave you an example of $23 million being blocked at his account in UK. And he's a very, very wealthy person. And what happened now, because Lutsenko shut down the case about Zlochevsky, he flew back to the country. There were a lot of protests inside the country because people could not realize how could you shut down a case about such an odious person? How could he come back? And Lutsenko said, well, there is nothing we can claim about. He paid a fine and that's it.
Case closed.
Case closed. He's back. And now he's even trying to wash off his reputation, investing here on the Hill, investing in think tanks in the United States.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yes, he is investing in very powerful and influential think tanks in the United States, paying, I think it's $250,000 or $500,000 per year. The Burisma is being a donor, and they're trying to present themselves right now
To change their image, right?
Of course. And they're just washing out their reputation.
And so what do you think in retrospect about those that joined the board? Mr. Kwasniewski, I'm most interested in. Was that a mistake, or is that helping to rehabilitate this company, or how would you judge that?
Well, let's be honest, the company is rehabilitated now.
Right.
The company is investing in international, influential think tanks. The company is organizing huge summits in Monaco where all the top politicians come over.
Right.
So it did help for them.
Right.
It worked out perfectly. But again, there is no corruption case about that.
Right.
About washing off the reputation.
Right.
It's the moral part that should be taken into consideration.
Those are two different things. That's a great
exactly.
point you just made. Well, tell us how this plays in Ukraine. You know, here in America, we have all thousands of Ukrainian experts now. You should know. They're all over the place. They're on TV every day. I'm interested in your personal impression, and then give us a sense of how it plays in the parliament and in civil society. First, just discuss when this transcript was released. How did people react to that in Ukraine? Or how did you react? And then tell us what you think the general reaction is.
You should understand that the majority of people were reading not what the American president was saying, but
what the Ukrainian president was replying.
Of
course. Tell us about that.
And frankly speaking, on one side, I think it was a very tough conversation for our president.
Right.
Because he was talking to one of the most influential people in this country,
right.
to the president of the United States,
right.
who was...
And their first real substantive
first conversation. So he was trying to keep it as independent as he could. People, of course, were disappointed to hear him say that I will have my 100% my own general prosecutor, which is not acceptable because
right.
the general prosecutor should be independent.
Independent.
We
exactly.
had seen already so many dependent general prosecutors,
right.
like I've named you before.
Yes.
So the general prosecutor has to be independent. But again, I think that was a tough time for our president, especially taking into account that he had never been in politics before and
right.
international politics, to talk to the president of the United States, especially on such, not personal, but to some reason personal issues
of
as
course.
Well. I think he did his best to some point because
right.
he was trying to stay independent and not go into details. But again, the Ukrainian society knows about Zlochevsky. The Ukrainian society knows what he has done. We all remember that after Maidan, his mansion was one of the only ones that were attacked by activists. Not attacked, but actually people were literally trying to put down the 3-meter fence. Because he captured illegally a huge part of the land not
right.
far from Kyiv and,
right.
and built a very expensive mansion there. And then it was totally covered by a huge fence that you could see nothing through. So it was one of those symbols of Maidan when people were trying to put down that fence.
Right.
And so when everybody knew that Zlochevsky is right now back to the country, and now we see that the United States president was misinformed and he thinks that people were investigating him. And Ukrainians know that Chalkin and Lutsenko are the bad guys in our country that were not investigating
right.
and have one of the lowest trust rates in Ukraine. So, of course, it was disappointing. But I really hope that getting the information out, getting the facts out, and getting the truth out will help actually a lot of people, not only in Ukraine, but in the United States, understand who's good and who's bad.
Right. Well, in a way, you've been dedicated to that for many, many years, right? Tell our listeners, the word Ukraine and corruption has been used a lot in the press these days. But part of the reason I think that we know about corruption is because of people like you. Like, you know, there are other countries that has corruption. I'm thinking about Russia, but they don't have the means to fight it. How do you see the issue of corruption moving forward? You have a brand new president, new government, brand new parliament of which you're a part of, your faction is brand new, never with Mr. Zelensky's faction. How do you see this issue today in terms of the fight for corruption inside Ukraine?
There is a will to do that. We started way before, we started after the Revolution of Dignity. And there were a lot of good things that were done. Despite all these former corrupt general prosecutors that were not doing their jobs, there were a lot of new institutions that were created. For example, National Anti-Corruption Bureau or
right.
Anti-Corruption Prosecution. We had
right.
recently launched an anti-corruption court. And
Didn't exist before.
It had never existed
right.
before. And yesterday I read the news that the former MP from Poroshenko party was yesterday claimed to be guilty. There is a criminal investigation that was done by the National Anti-Corruption Bureau. And uh-huh. now they can claim that they can actually arrest him because he's not a parliamentarian anymore. So we can see it moving. We do need still support, and we have to push it hard as we can.
Right.
We in our fraction see fighting corruption as one of the top priorities right. for us. And that's why we have more people in anti-corruption committees, law enforcement committees.
Is that right? With
yes.
Your committee is very popular for your faction?
Of course, because uh-huh. so we have more people there than in, let's say, like cultural committee, for example, or
right.
like a sport committee.
Right.
But that's because fighting corruption in Ukraine and building the new institutions and functioning law enforcement is the key solution to building a new country.
Right.
Because strong law enforcement is the immune system of the country. Because you can fix different parts, you can do different reforms, but if this one fails, the whole body, the whole country is going to fail. That's why we're going to focus on this. We're going to be totally supportive of the new anti-corruption bodies. We're trying right now to pass additional instruments for them to fight corruption, like,
right.
for example, independent wiretapping. And I really think in 5 years after we are done, I can give you not only the overview of what we're going to do, but what we had done and
right.
how much money was confiscated and how many people ended up in jail.
Well, Sasha, I wish you well on that. I think it is, like you said, if not the most important issue for Ukraine, one of the most important issues. Congratulations on your election, and thank you for joining World Class today.
Thank you. It was my great honor.
You've been listening to World Class from the Freeman Spogli Institute for International Studies at Stanford University. If you like this episode, please review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps new listeners find the show. And be sure to subscribe to stay up to date on what's happening in the world and why.